They're lazy and they don't want to work hard. No one wants to work hard. They don't want to work Saturdays. They won't work late nights. They don't even want to work full time. Really easy for our whole approach and our attitude towards business all becomes a little bit humdrum. She had 55 applications. And then not only that, she actually had her best month ever. This is how to beat the hiring crisis. If you recruit average, you get average. Makes sense, right? But then why aren't you changing the way that you recruit? We look at salons around us locally and we see their "we're hiring" post and we think, well, that obviously works. But then we complain and say that there are no stylists out there. There's nobody replying to my ads. It must be the industry. There must be a lack. Don't worry, I know, I've been there before. But what if we flipped your thinking? I want you to look at the way that you recruit in 2024 and beyond, because I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but your "we're hiring" ad, well, they suck. And if it's not working and you're getting average responses, you're probably getting no responses, then let's change the way that we hire and create a recruitment strategy so that you can hire rockstar stylists and therapists. You need to level it up. So I want to share with you some strategies on how to recruit in 2024 and beyond and how to build your employer brand status. So I just recently did this as a live workshop in the Profitable and Successful Salon Owners Facebook group. This is how to beat the hiring crisis. And really quick before we start, this episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by Salon Mastery. So if you're an ambitious salon owner ready to make $1 million or more, then Salon Mastery can help you create a roadmap to success, a proven strategy step by step for the different stages and phases of your business growth. How do we attract dream clients? How do we build a rockstar team and become a true salon CEO? It's a coaching program, loads of support, weekly workshops. If you're interested in finding out more, click the apply now. There's a button in the show notes. All right, let's jump in. Today in this episode, we're going to break down why no one wants to work for you, what you can do about it, and we're going to implement an action plan. 3 steps that you can take to ensure that your salon is work for worthy. How to become known in your local area as the preferred employer brand. Build a strong reputation as the salon to work for. At the end of this episode, I'm going to give you a tool that is going to help you step through these 3 key steps. So make sure that you come back to this episode, and I'm going to leave the link in the show notes so you can download it and come along the journey with me. Well, let's start by acknowledging that the industry has changed a lot, and the pool of people who we have to choose from to employ, do you know, it's 30% of the employable population are Gen Z now. So of those people that we have to choose from to employ in our salon business, well, they've changed. Well, actually, they're just different. They want to work less, they want to earn more, and you know what? I really can't blame them. Like, honestly, who doesn't? And if you're feeling like I can't find any staff, then listen up. The challenge, though, that I see many salon owners making is that they're scared of actually advertising that they need staff, because if they don't get a response the first time around, they're too scared to continue to promote the fact that they're recruiting. They're worried mostly that people are going to be judging you to be desperate. Gen Zs are lazy. Now, this is a comment that I hear all the time from salon owners. They're lazy and they don't want to work hard. No one wants to work hard. They don't want to work Saturdays. They won't work late nights. They don't even want to work full time. 32 hours is full time right now. How do I actually fill my team? What happens is I see too many of you salon owners give up. Do you know you give up? And it's like, if I don't get a response, there's nobody out there. I give up. I desperately need people, but I'm actually not taking any action. The challenge, though, is if you don't, and if you give up on the industry, well, the industry just slowly starts to die and we go out of business. This is not what I want for this awesome industry. So if you're like most owners, you probably think that the actual problem is that there's nobody out there, that the industry is in crisis, and that there are no stylists and therapists quote, air quotes, out there, and we start to wonder what is becoming of this industry. Are we in a hiring crisis? But actually, I want to tell you that's not actually true. There are salons hiring, and there are salons hiring more than one at a time. Like Kelsey, last month, she advertised for 3 positions. She's in growth mode. She got 35 applications. And Anna was recruiting for a salon manager. She had 55 applications. And then not only that, she actually had her best month ever. And she finally reached 73K in sales, her top ever. You can't do that without a team. So what I'm trying to say is that it's actually not an industry problem. There are stylists, there are therapists changing jobs, moving salons, leveling up, and working where they want to work. New apprentices are joining the industry. So I believe it's not an industry problem. And I want you to consider that maybe if you're experiencing this challenge, it's a you problem. Maybe it's just that they don't pay attention to your salon. Maybe it's just that they don't pay attention to your socials. Maybe it's this, they don't pay attention to your recruitment ads. Do they even know that you exist? This is a good question, right? Just imagine that you had a queue of people lining up desperate to work for you. Just imagine how that would change your business. The thing is, step one, or the first thing for you to look at, is that probably your ads suck. Now, back in the day, and I'm talking about probably not, back in the day was not that long ago. If you think about how much the world has changed in the last four years. Back in the day, we could simply put an ad up on our social media or even just on our website saying we are hiring and feel like that we've done what we needed to do to get applications. The thing is, we're not hiring like 2019 anymore. Not to mention that everybody is still doing that. And I think many, you know, we're still looking at salons across the road and, or on social media, and we're just copying each other. And so round and round we go, looking like this sort of nondescript salon that just looks the same as everybody else, until we finally give up and think, well, this is an industry problem. There's nobody out there because I'm not getting any bites. And when we blame the industry instead of going, well, what am I doing that's not getting the result? We have a problem. And I think there's a bunch of owners that are too busy worrying about whether or not we can afford to have more staff anyway. And so we're kind of half in, half out of this whole recruitment game and this growth game because we believe that there's an industry problem or that there's a recession going on or that there's a cost of living crisis, which may or may not be true. But it affects the way that we tackle the game of business. And so we want to start our team on minimum wage, our new teams on minimum wage, because we're expecting them, one, not to show up anyway, two, we're expecting them to be average, and three, we kind of half in, half out think we can't afford them, and so we're not really trying to attract them, even though we kind of are. And so if we recruit average, if we play the game average, and our ads are average, and we expect average, guess what? We get average. Instead of jumping in boots and all and thinking about where can we take good people? What is the mission that our business is on? Where are we going in the future? How do we turn good people into great people and build real rock stars? So imagine you actually had a career pathway to take good people and turn them into great. Where teams got paid epic money, had a great future, and guess what? You got to help them. And when they look into their futures and they see the amazing opportunities that are before them, your brand is the brand partner that is going to help them get there. I think we're too focused on where a team member will start and the problems that we have today and the risk that we're taking by trying to grow or recruit in a crisis period, rather than building a compelling campaign on how to attract really great people who want to grow, who will build a future with you and build a solid career inside of your business. So then the responsibility is on us to build a career roadmap for them. Imagine being so good that the people inside of your team just never considered leaving, and never considered renting a chair and never considered looking down the road at the business down the road. And so you weren't fearful that they were going to come and then leave. Imagine those that come and then decide to leave is because actually you haven't provided the opportunities for them to want to stay. People don't cheat on relationships that they're happy with. I think when we take this approach, it's really easy for our whole approach and our attitude towards business all becomes a little bit humdrum. And if we look and behave like, air quotes, just another salon, then you're going to get people who are applying who are looking for just another job. And then we think, oh, all the people that are applying just want another job and they don't really care. And then you're disappointed with the industry. So let me tell you this, A-grade players work for A-grade bosses. And when you're an A-grade inspired boss, why would people leave? Now, for those of you who don't know who I am, I thought I would just take a moment and stop and introduce myself to you. Not everybody knows who I am. And several people have asked me just in the last week and I thought, I'm going to share. So number one, who the heck am I? Number one, I'm a stylist and I still consider myself a stylist and I was a salon owner for 20 years. 6 months out of my apprenticeship, I opened my first salon, me and one other. And for a while I owned two salons and then we amalgamated to one big business. And I grew that to a team of 30. We were in the central CBD of my hometown, Wellington, New Zealand. And we were on the Golden Mile. We had this massive team of 30 on the first floor looking out over the main street. I worked in and on that business for 15 hours a week. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I worked long and hard on that business. But when I sold, I worked on and in that business 15 hours of the week. And I spent the remainder of my time with my two small children. But I also had time to start another company. Now, that is a whole nother conversation that we'll have on another day. In any case, I was a three-time Salon Global Business Award winner, and I was very lucky to travel around the globe to collect those awards. And I also had the opportunity to study entrepreneurial studies at UCLA. After I sold, I worked in digital marketing and building technology. I worked for two salon software companies, and I just love building software. I learned a lot about the industry, but it was then that I had this opportunity to see how much pain the industry was in, how many people were not paying themselves and really struggling to grow. And that's when I was inspired to start Salon Owners Collective, which was the end of 2016. So we're coming up to 8 years old now. My goal is to help salon owners to build a profitable salon that works without you. Not that you have to be absent or want to be absent, but it could work without you. So you work on your business more than in your business. Because if you need to be able to take a holiday, if you need to be able to take time off to be with your children or your elderly parents, then you need to be able to do that. I want salon owners to be able to earn 100K or more, definitely more, but most people aren't even paying themselves, let alone earning 100K a year. Right? So no more, no pay. I want to help salon owners grow 100% trusted teams, not just any old team, but a team that you trust deeply and they trust you as their leader, having the right people on the bus. I want to help salon owners reach the $1 million mark because business changes at the $1 million mark. There is a different conversation that happens at the $1 million mark. We run a program called the Salon Mastery Boardroom specifically for the salons $1 million and over. But this is a good, flexible place for a business to be. I want to help salon owners install the right strategic systems and build the right systems for the right stage and phase of growth. So I'm not trying to sell you anything on this podcast, but I think it's important that you know who I am, how I began, and what my purpose is. And if you do want help with some of these strategies and that I'm talking about in this podcast and help implement and get some help implementing them, then I'm going to share with you just at the end how we can book a strategy call, have a conversation about how you can get some help. All right, Let's get into it. Today I want to talk about three key things. So we've covered a little bit why nobody wants to work for you, and now I want to cover what exactly you can do about it. Let's jump into the three-step action plan. And number one is, let's talk about the actual attraction of rock stars. How do we attract rock stars and let them know that we even exist, that they can even recruit with us? So the goal here is a proper marketing strategy. So I mentioned before that most of what I see in the industry is ads, can I be really blunt, that mostly suck. Do you know, back in the day we could simply say we're hiring and we could feel like we've done what we needed to do to get applications. But it just is a little bit 2019, right? And I see too many people recruiting like this. And when they recruit like this and they get no response and they blame it on the industry and say that there is no people in the industry available, and I want to change that. I want to make sure that people aren't giving up on the industry and feeling like, well, everybody's hurting and that's why I'm not getting any bites, because it's not an industry problem. What we need to do instead is have a proper marketing strategy. The thing is that if you think about trying to attract clients into your business, then what do? You pull together a marketing strategy. And so whether you're recruiting and attracting clients or team members, it's one and the same. You need a really clear marketing strategy. So if you look around your local area or even on social media, you will be bombarded with, we're hiring, we're looking for you, we need qualified stylists, we are award winners, we, and we need you to work this, that, and the other. The challenge here is that it can't be about us and it can't be about we. And I want you to change from we are hiring, we are looking for, we need somebody to do this, and it needs to be about you. Not you, the podcast listener, just to be clear. About the person that you're trying to recruit. Because if you think about it, the girl or the boy that is looking for somewhere to work, in the moment that they are scrolling, whether they're scrolling Seek or social media, they're just sitting, them and themselves, whether on a bus or they're on the couch at home, they are looking at their phone and they're scrolling. And who are they thinking about in that very moment? They're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you. They actually don't care about you. They only care about what you can do for them, and you need to tap into them in that moment in their brain about what they are thinking. So what do you, stylist, potential employee, what do you want? And we can provide that. What else do you need? And we can do that for you. We've got to tap into the person, the audience. Honestly, it's the same rule when you're marketing for clients. We make it too much about ourselves. Number two is, I believe we have to have better people stock management. If we fail to keep our staff in stock, then we're failing to run our business. When you think about it, you probably, well, I hope you have good professional stock management, retail stock management. What do? On a weekly basis, you go and count all the stock and then you reorder the stuff that you need so you can sell it. So why aren't we doing the same with our staff? Because if you really think about it, it takes about 3 months to hire. Do you know? One, if we are growing and then we need someone to fill a role that's up and coming, or somebody resigns and we need to now recruit and replace somebody. If you think about that, once you recognize that you need to fill the role, and then by the time you get the ads live out into the world, by the time your potential person sees it, not just once, but multiple times, she needs to think about it, and then he's going to think about applying. And then by the time you get in a two-way conversation, and then by the time you book in the interview, by the time you do the skills test, and by the time that they resign, and by the time that you give them a job offer and they sign the contract and you work out a roster, do you know, there are some things that you need to do before he or she starts. So it's actually not uncommon for this to be a three-month process. Like, too many people are putting an ad out and after 1 week. So in Salon Mastery, we have a really clear step-by-step recruitment strategy. And it's intense. It's deep. it's strategic. There are really clear do's and don'ts to get the results. And one of the things that I still see is that we put the ad up and then owners are saying to me 1 week later, why have I got no applications? Well, hang on a minute. People need to see and your brand multiple times, between 7 and 11 times, to see your brand before they even cognitively are aware that you exist. So good things take time. So we need to have an always hiring approach. That means if it takes a minimum of 3 months just to get to recruit somebody, and by the time you recognize that somebody's left or that you're growing and you need a role, then by that time, it's too late. And any growing business, when you think about it, has to recruit between 1 and 3 times every single year. So if you know that this year you're going to recruit 1 or 3 people, or next year you're going to recruit 1 or 3 people, don't we need to have an always hiring strategy? If we are always open, always recruiting, and always advertising, then someone's always going to be applying, and you can have a queue of people waiting until you have a position available. It's a much better approach, honestly. Okay, when it comes to the actual marketing campaign to attract a rockstar team, the other mistake that I see is that nobody knows that you're hiring because you're just not putting your ads out there enough. And I know this comes from a fear of looking desperate because you feel desperate. But what if people saw your advertising campaign and just thought, gosh, she's always advertising, she must be growing. Only you think you're desperate, everybody else thinks that you're growing. And too many times I see people post it once and then give up because they didn't get an immediate response and flood of 10 applications. So you need to share it around your community, and you need to share it community groups, you need to share it on your website, Seek, social, all the places. Because the key here is that you cannot sell a secret. Let me tell you this, if you're not talking about your business, then how can you expect other people to be talking about your business and know what's going on? All right, I want you to stop and think just for a moment. Which of these 3 things do you think you're most guilty of? Is it that you are just putting a post out and saying we're hiring, and that you're not inspiring people to know who you are as a brand and understand that you are, number two, always hiring? Because if you're not always hiring, then how can you keep your people in stock? And number 3, maybe you're just not sharing it and you're keeping it a secret and nobody actually knows you're hiring. I just want you to think about that. Which one is you at the moment? All right, let's step into step number 3, which is how do we create and build a career roadmap for our team members? We can no longer afford to just offer minimum wage and expect to get people on our team. I know as an industry that we're often worried that we can't afford to have people. Many owners ask me and say, Larissa, I don't know if I can afford to recruit. How do I know that I can afford it? And I want to tell you, you can always afford income generating team members. Don't stop. That's how you make your money. So I want you to remember, you can always afford income generating team members. P.S. As long as you know how to attract clients into your business. That's really the answer. So if we want to recruit great people, then we can't start them on minimum wage and expect them to work hard before they get the reward. If we recruit average and we expect average, we will get average. And so instead of thinking about how can we minimize the impact on the business by employing somebody, instead, I want you to think about how can we attract great people, create a great career pathway for them, and how can we develop them and turn them into great rockstar team members. So if only we could have and build a career pathway where teams got paid epic money and had a great future out in front of them. And if we had the time, because we weren't serving clients 40 and 50 and 60 hours a week, and we had the time to develop and grow our people, then imagine our people and our team looked into the future, their future, and they saw us, the business owner, as the pathway to getting the things that they want in their life inside of your brand. Because otherwise, I think we're too focused on the risk that we're taking and how we're going to, you know, only get average people who are going to arrive, work for 6 weeks and leave again, rather than building a compelling campaign on how you can attract great talent who want to work and grow and build a future with you. Do you know? Imagine your brand was too good that your team just never wanted to leave. They never considered leaving. Nobody went to go and rent a chair or look at the salon down the road. People don't cheat on relationships that they're happy with. So there are three key steps here. Number one is build a 100K career roadmap, right? The challenge that I see is that many stylists and therapists are struggling to hit their target and they're stuck at $25 an hour. And we can't pay them more because there's no money to pay them more because they're not making the sales. The challenge is that they don't know, the stylist or therapist doesn't know how to improve, sell more, do more. And meanwhile, they think that you're just being stingy, keeping them on minimum wage. Instead, I think we have to take an approach that's like, do you know what? I got you, team member, stylist or therapist, I've got you. It's up to us as the owners to have the back of our team. Tell them where the next pay rise is coming from. Show them how to win. Show them exactly what they need to do to build a clientele, to develop good, strong relationships, to rebook, to upgrade, all of those things. We need to develop our people. We need to polish the diamonds that we have inside of our business. Take them under your wing and grow them, show them, and let them know, I got you. I'm going to show you. That's why we have a program called Do I Get a Pay Rise? I used to call it Do I Get a Pay Rise when I ran this program inside of my salon. We now call it 100K Career Roadmaps because we want to build a future for our teams. One thing I know to be true is your people will always leave you when they run out of future. And so you must build future. Okay, number two is that we really want to consider a lifestyle roster. Now, I know this generation wants to work less and get the reward. Like, I totally know this. This is a thing. And they say, I don't want to do the work. Give me the Insta life, right? You promised me an Insta life. And they don't want to work hard, or that's how it feels. Is this relating? Are you relating to this? But I think actually we shouldn't get angry at that. We should just show them the way. You can have your Instagram lifestyle if that's what you want. Sure, that's what I want, don't you? But we've got to give them the journey to get there. And the mistake is that we don't have the language or the story to share with them and control the narrative around, sure, you can have the Instagram lifestyle if you want, but you've got to do the work. Like, this is an age-old truth. Like, I know the industry or the Gen Z want the outcome faster than any generation before. But there's a fundamental rule of life is that you eat your veggies first and then you get the dessert. You do the work first and then you get the reward. And if they want it, that's fine. Of course they can want it. I want it too. But it's up to us as their leader, as their elder, as their employer, to show them the way and the steps. Should we try and fast track it for them? Yes, but we shouldn't shortcut it to a way that's going to, you know, cut off their nose to spite their face and actually not build a career for them. Now, if you think about it, new clients, they want late night Saturdays and peak time. They won't wait for availability. And if we can't serve them now, they'll go somewhere else. But existing clients who love our salon, who love our teams, they'll come when we're available, because we already have an established relationship. There is no like and trust in that relationship. And so we need to have up-and-coming team members available for the new clients. And as you build your expertise, then you can start to build in this lifestyle roster as they build and produce the results. You just need to control the narrative to give them the step-by-step and handhold them through that pathway. So I know they want to have the Insta life, but if they can't be available to get the clients, they're not going to get the results. New clients need availability soon. So be available. And as you start to get booked up, then we'll start to give you the great roster. And I will show you the way, right? Together, You're going to help them win. So they win, and when they win, you win, but also the client wins. So I think we have to get, as a business owner, we have to get better at the narrative, at the story. Like, this is a marketing campaign designed to grow your team. You know how to consult a client. You know how to post on social media to do the marketing. You need to learn how to do the same with your team. And as you build your team, they can get the hours that they want and have the lifestyle that they want. They can have the Insta life once they do the work. All right, so number three is 5-star brand loyalty. As your salon grows and your team start to become fully booked, it's important that you, the salon owner, become a little bit more intentional about who's taking care of the different clients that visit your business. Like, not only do you want to ensure that you support and develop each team member, but you've got to give them the strategies to grow their clientele, their income, and their lifestyle. Like, when a stylist comes up the ranks and becomes an executive stylist or a director level stylist or a master stylist or therapist, then they need to be taking care of clients that are the higher ticket clients, or what we call 5-star clients, in order to achieve that continued growth. Otherwise, they hit a growth ceiling. And so we can't let them hit a growth ceiling, because our team need to evolve. They need to be able to grow and have increased levels of performance, but also prestige. And so we have to help them transition their clientele to a 5-star clientele so they can grow, so they can become a 100K stylist. Because once your stylist or therapist gets to a certain point in their career and they're fully booked, all they've got to look forward to is just more fully booked days back to back. And I don't know about you, but that is not as appealing. New clients refer by reputation. And if they can't get an appointment with your 5-star executive stylist, and they only see the up and coming, less experienced, brand new people who don't even know like how things work around here, then they have this high expectation and they have this low reality experience. And if the expectation is not matched, then you've got a growth problem in your business. So you need to make space for 5-star clients to see 5-star team members. Your great high-level clients need to see great high-level team members. Don't give your new clients average, C-grade, new up-and-coming people. Otherwise, you've got a problem. And then your stylist or therapist hits a growth ceiling, but also so does your business. And so your goal as the salon CEO is to ensure that you're constantly making space for the flow of developing team members and developing clients. All right. So in terms of building a career roadmap, we've talked about building 100K career roadmaps for team members. We talked about developing lifestyle rosters and also building 5-star loyal brand clients. All right. Last but not least, let's talk about making them beg to work for you and making sure that you're not just another salon. I think it's our responsibility to intentionally build strategy around becoming an inspired boss. Otherwise, it's just all a little bit humdrum. Like, if you're feeling like nobody wants to work for you and that people are leaving and they're looking for a change, and this new generation, you're rolling your eyes at them and saying, well, this generation, this market, this crisis of costs are going up, and you're looking outward, then I think you've got a problem. And I think we need to take a moment and look inward. So if we're looking outward and blaming the industry and blaming your team and blaming everybody else, then the opportunity that you have is having a look inward at yourself. Because if we as leaders and we as the business look and behave like just another salon, then you're going to get people applying and working for you who want just another job and they don't care. I want you to remember this: A-grade players work for A-grade bosses. So are you an A-grade inspired boss? Why should people come and work for you? So I know many people think it's them, it's this generation, it's the industry, but actually, this generation, or people that are in the workforce right now, they just want to do purpose-driven work that is meaningful work. They don't want to just cut more hair for cutting hair's sake, but to change people's lives, to have an impact on the clients that they serve every day, to make a difference in this world. And I know that we say, well, the talent pool has changed, their mindset is different, and they want different things. Well, yes, it's true. The world has changed. But my question to you is, have you? So if you're finding it hard to attract great talent into this awesome industry or into your salon, it might just mean it's time for you to make a change for what you are doing and try something new. Is your brand and is your leadership leveled up? Have you elevated? Are you an inspired best boss? It's only you that can control your own outcomes. All right, the other thing I want to consider is your brand is only as strong as what people say about you when you're not there. So the strength of your brand reputation is based on the conversations that have around the barbecue, the weekend barbecue. So you think about your clients or your team members, and in the weekend they're going about their lives and they're having social events. The quality of your reputation is what is said in those social moments, whether it's your clients or it's your team. And I want you to tune in to that. This is the baseline for your employer brand status. So let's be intentional about who you are as an employer brand. And my question to you is, are you ready to level it up? So let's just think about, here are five parts to being an employer brand. Number one is having a really clear mission and vision. Number two is building a team culture that aligns with that mission and vision. Do the team know what that mission and vision is? Are they holding true to it? Is it spoken about? Number three, do you have great working conditions? Like, do you have good working conditions that people actually want to be part of? Number four, do you have clarity on who you serve and thus who you're trying to attract? Is there alignment with the type of clients that you have and the type of team members that you're trying to build? Is there clarity around that? And number five, do you have a clear visual story or message that you share to the world? Is that message of those things on who you serve, the great working conditions, the culture that you have and the mission, the vision, is it actually visible? Do you have a visual story and good messaging in your marketing about those things? Because you can't sell a secret. All right, last but not least, it's kind of back to you being the inspired leader. And I think that's really important. Because if you're experiencing complaints or concerns from other staff members about each other, and if the staff feel comfortable to deal with it themselves and achieve a positive outcome, whether or not they can do that on their own really determines, are you an inspired boss? Are you creating a great culture? So if you're experiencing individuals who are challenging you and that's keeping you up at night, but actually you really just want to have good leadership to inspire them because you know that if your team are happy, you can sleep at night. But if we don't intentionally level up and foster a team of trust, then you will by default make room for a toxic culture to seep in and emerge and eventually take over. And that means that your people, they don't respect you. And if they don't respect you, you won't be able to lead them. Okay, let's do a little bit of a recap. First, we talked about what are the strategies that we're taking to actually attract rockstar teams. Do we have a clear marketing strategy that we're really intentional about attracting team members? Because we have to nail the strategy. We have to do it 1 to 3 times every year. Number two, are we building great career pathways and building our reputation as a brand that looks after their team members, creating future for people? And number three, are we being inspired best bosses so people want to work for us, are inspired to work for us? If we can pull all of these things together, then we're going to be able to build a rockstar team and assemble great people. So I want to know, what was your aha moment in listening to this podcast? Because as we covered attraction strategy, building career pathways and becoming an inspired leader, what was the most or the biggest aha moment for you? Because that's where you need to spend or reinvest the majority of your time. So one of my most favorite Salon Mastery owners, Molly, she's about to join the boardroom. In 2022, she came to me and she said, Larissa, do you know what? I'm done. I've got a young child. My husband is sick. And I just want to sell. Get me the heck out. We'd been working together for a little bit, but she was just done. But we very intentionally worked on exactly these three things. We improved her attraction and marketing strategy. Like, we spent a lot of time on that. We installed a 100K career pathway for her team, and we aligned people into that. And she really was dedicated to working on herself and becoming a more strategic, inspired owner. And the other amazing thing that she did is she really cut down her time serving clients so she could serve her team. And when she came to me in 2021, she was averaging about 11K a week. And as she's arrived in 2024, she is now averaging between 20 and 23K a week. She's officially now a $1 million business. And she couldn't have done it without those three key things to help her grow and build a rockstar team. If you're thinking, well, that was great, but what now what? What do I do? What do you think you need to do so you can really refocus and build the business? That's really the next question. So if you're feeling stuck and you've got some work to do, then one thing I want you to recognize is really common in the business is the business owner will always be the bottleneck in your business. Now, I know this because I see that. We work with about 100 salons at any given time, and I see this constantly. I also know this because I am also my own roadblock and my own bottleneck inside of my own business. And so if you're bottlenecked and you're stuck and you've hit a growth ceiling, then let me tell you, the problem is you. And so I think instead of going it alone, you need to get some help. Like, don't go it alone. Business is hard enough. Business is lonely when you're at the top. And so I believe you need to get someone to do it with you. Like, don't be alone. Humans don't like to be alone. Together is always better. I think you need to have three types of people around you. One, you need to have a group of peers. That's like someone in the trenches with you, who's at the same stage and level of business with you. Number two, you need a network. A group of people who are a step ahead of you so you can see what is your very next step. And number three, you need a coach or a mentor, someone who has been right where you are now and can shortcut your road to success. Like, just give you the answers and what to do next. So if you're ready to move from winging it and you want to have a really clearly laid out plan, step by step, like the right strategies to work on the right stage of business, or both, which is probably best. If you need help with team leadership, managing personalities, communication strategies for having difficult conversations, building a winning culture, because if you don't have a culture by intention, you have a culture that somebody else other than you is designing. So if you need help getting a good team to perform too well together, make their targets, serve your clients, show up on time, then I think get some help. I work with salon owners who have a team, who are growing a team, who want to grow a team. Maybe you've got four, maybe you've got seven, maybe you've already got 15 on your team, and you really want to reach the $1 million mark. You really want to step up and to become a true salon CEO. You want to have a business, a profitable business that works without you. You are ready to install the right strategic systems, and you're open, coachable, and most importantly, you're an action taker. Because if you are, then I want to teach you to fish. I can give you the fish, but you also need to know how to catch the fish. If you are interested in learning a little more about Salon Mastery, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes of this episode, and I welcome you to apply for Salon Mastery. Let's just hop on a call. We'll have a strategy call. I'm going to ask you a few questions. You can tell me about your salon, and I'll let you know whether or not you're a right fit for Salon Mastery and if I can help. All right, that is a wrap. So my question is, how do you feel about recruiting now? Let me know if I've changed some of your minds or your perspective, because I think that shift from there's no stylists or therapists out there to, well, actually, maybe there's something wrong with the way that I'm advertising, or maybe there's some work for me to do inside of my business. That is the first step. Because when you have a mindset that everyone in the industry is average and you don't really care enough, or it stops you. It's not that you don't care, but it stops you from putting in that extra effort, and there's a little bit of apathy, like I'm just giving up. Then obviously you're going to get the same result. If you give apathy, you'll get apathy. A-grade bosses with a strong recruitment strategy and a plan to build a reputation as an employer brand will attract A-grade stylists and therapists. That is for sure. I know that to be true. So I want you to go away from this episode and look at what you can do to elevate your recruitment strategy, and together we can elevate the industry. All right, that's a wrap from me. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.